Hello, welcome to My Camino, the podcast. I'm Dan Mullins. A couple of people have written to me to remind me that in my first podcast of 2020, I said, who knows what 2020 will bring? It's astounding to think that this ghastly year is coming to a close. But we're pilgrims. Remember last week, Riccardo Moretti's poem, The Camino? It wasn't without its ups and downs, and there were many. But the hard parts made easy by simple pilgrim smiles and the beauty of life. Pilgrims see the beauty in life. So I thought I'd just jot down some things I've noticed over the last 6 months. We all now realise how much the Camino means to us. By not being able to travel, particularly here in Australia, we felt an even greater luring to pilgrimage. I think we've seen a greater community spirit. We've reached out to our neighbours more. And the footage of people dancing on their balconies to a musician in an apartment block, it's fantastic. We felt part of our neck of the woods. We've made more contact with family and friends. It's a blessing in so many ways. We now have a greater appreciation for essential workers, seeing people standing in their driveways applauding nurses and doctors and paramedics and police. It's a wonderful acknowledgement of their bravery, their selflessness, and their never-ending energy. And finally, I think many of us have taken the opportunity to have a COVID reboot, to take stock, to remember what's important in our lives and to maybe focus more on what's important as opposed to what we're told should be important. To live simply, to be more humble, like a pilgrim. And I spoke a month ago with Margaret and Rowan Boutel from the Blue Mountains, an hour outside of Sydney. We spoke in the heart of Sydney, a stone's throw from St James's Station. St James's Cathedral is across Hyde Park. We went to look at a sculpture, a reclining statue, a pilgrim wrapped in a blanket sleeping on a bench outside the cathedral. I went back 2 days later. Something struck me about that pilgrim. It was then I noticed the pilgrim's feet sticking out from beneath the blanket. There were wounds where nails had hammered this pilgrim to a crucifix. The statue is homeless Jesus. Here, the ultimate pilgrim covers himself from the world outside, his head and body shielded from harm. Yet his feet tell us who he is, the very feet that carried him to this spot, this hope of respite, of calm, of love. The American evangelist and host of The Hour of Power, Robert H. Schuller, said once, "Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future." Let's heal together as 2020 closes. Let's focus on our hopes, not hurts, shaping our future. We'll be back on the Camino in no time. In the meantime, let's speak to someone who lives and breathes the way of St. James. Peter Thomas is an Australian pilgrim. He's on the line from Canberra, the nation's capital. Welcome, pilgrim.
Hello, Dan. Thank you for this opportunity. It'd be great.
Yeah. You say... you've been walking, often long-distance walking, for a very long time in Australia and overseas, for over 40 years, as a venturous scout leader, a bushwalking guide, and a member of the Australian Army Reserve. What inspires you?
I think it's the adventure, without a doubt. The whole idea of going out on adventure, time and space, which I'll talk about later, and going out and challenging yourself and achieving. That's an inspiration.
So that's your inspiration. Now, you walk, and when I say you walk a lot, I mean you walk a lot. You're always out there every weekend, most weeks. What motivates you as opposed to inspires you?
The whole idea that, I work for the Operation Flinders Foundation in South Australia. Obviously, I haven't been over there a lot this year. One thing I do, I like to stay fit for our exercises and Operation Flinders and into the future, more Caminos. I found that the fitter you are, the more you enjoy it, and that's why I do it.
You write a blog called Lighten the Trip Fantastic. Why Lighten the Trip Fantastic? Tell us about that.
Well, the blog itself, or why it's called Lighten the Trip Fantastic?
Why it's called Light the Trip Fantastic.
Okay, Lighten the Trip Fantastic, it's all about inspiring people to go out and do things. And the more they know about different walks around Australia and around the world, the more knowledge they have, the more comfortable they'll be about going out and doing it. So I'm actually lightening their trips, and it's fantastic.
I like that. Hey, how did you first hear about the Camino de Santiago, Peter?
That is a long story. All right. So I've been involved in bushwalking for a long time, but I've never done any long walks. Back in 2004, a good friend and I did the Australian Alps walking track from Walhalla in Victoria through to Canberra. It was 720 kilometres and it took us 5 weeks through the alpine wildernesses. So it wasn't anything like Camino. But it made me realise what I'm actually capable of. I expanded my horizons greatly. And time and space kicked in again, how to do things like that. And I was reading one of Paulo Coelho's poems, Warrior of the Light, which really inspired me because it gave me the permission to be myself and not worry about. And I found it was a it goes along with one of his books called The Alchemist. So I read that too. I thought, wow, that was great, looking for your treasure in the world. And I thought, what else has he written? And then I read The Pilgrimage, all about his walk on the Camino de Santiago back in the 1980s. And I thought, gee, that'd be really great to do. Really like to do that. And a couple of years later, of course, Emilio Estevez put The Way out. And I watched that and thought, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that one day. But I think in the back of my mind, I never really believed that I would actually go and do it. Until back in 2016, I was around a friend of mine's place, Leo. Leo was 70 at the time, and there was a Camino guidebook on his dining table. And I just said offhandedly, oh, wow, Camino, who's doing the Camino? And he said, I am. And I said, when? He said, I don't know. And about 2 nanoseconds later, I said, would you like some company? And that's how it all started. 12 months later, we're standing on the station at St. Jean-Pierre de Port.
Wow, that's great. So you walked with your friend Leo. So how many Caminos have you walked now, Peter?
We did Francis and then Finisterre. And after that, following year, Leo said, I'd like to go to Fatima. So we did the Camino de Tejo from Lisbon to Fatima. And then we just kept going. We did the Camino Portuguese Norte to Porto. And then we met up with a whole bunch of it's called Nuestros Familia de Senderos, our trail family. There's a group of us that come together over the last few years, and every year we say, what are we going to do this year? And we say, oh, well. So in 2018, yeah, we decided to do the Portuguese Centro. So a group of us met up in Porto. I think there was 5 of us in the group, and we walked to Santiago de Compostela. It was great. And when we got there, Leo and I turned around and did the Camino Portuguese Costa down the coast, and that was great. Last year, a couple of other Canadian friends of mine, Fred and Debbie, they wanted to do the Camino de Madrid and then the San Salvador and then the Primitivo. I said, yeah, I'll do that. But unfortunately, when we got to Sahagun at the end of the Madrid, Debbie had done her ankle in, so they pulled out. So I just kept going. I met up with another friend of mine, Jane, in León, and we did San Salvador together. And then when I got to Oviedo in Asturias, I met up with another friend, Kylie, and we walked to Primitivo together. And at the end of that, I did what I always do, and I had a week up my sleeve and didn't know what to do, so I thought, oh, well, I'll go and do the English. So I went and did the English way. So it's done a few.
You certainly have. Gosh, that's amazing. It's a difficult question to answer, but how has the Camino impacted your life, do you think?
Oh, greatly. Definitely the physically, intellectually, socially, spiritually, emotionally, every experience you go through grows those areas of your character. And each Camino grows them more. It opens your eyes to all sorts of things, different things. I must admit, one of the greatest pleasures I had on the Camino was meeting all the wonderful people I've met. Yeah. Who've become my friends, and we still communicate and occasionally go on trips together.
Yeah, how lovely. That's one of the great things, isn't it? We're going to talk about that in a little while, actually, the global community of pilgrims. What about being a venturous scout leader is a big part of your life? As I said, you're part of the Army Reserve as well. And part of that, I'm sure, is a role of mentoring, shaping the lives of young people. Has the Camino helped in the provision of that guidance?
In a different way. I'm no longer a mentor and scout leader. I'm a bushwalking guide and an archery guide.
Right.
But as I said, I work for the Operation Flinders Foundation in South Australia, and we do wilderness adventure therapy exercises for youth at risk in the northern Flinders ranges. So we go out for 8 days at a time, walk 100 Ks, do some abseiling, learn about Indigenous culture. And along the way, we try to show them how good they really are, because they're teenagers and they've got problems. And they just need to be shown that it's okay to have problems. That's normal. So walking the Camino has definitely helped me realise that, you know, you're allowed to be who you are and to accept other people as they are without judgment.
It's very important, isn't it? And what a relief it can be at times, Peter, to just be who you are when nobody's going to judge you. How lovely.
Yes, it is quite nice, very liberating.
Yeah. So if somebody in your circle of friends or family or someone you meet asks about the Camino, how do you describe it? How do you explain it to someone who asks about it?
You can explain the physical part about walking 800 miles from St. Jean-Pierre de Port through to Santiago de Compostela or from Lisbon or Ferrol. You can explain the physical part about it, but the actual emotional experience of day after day is very hard to get through to them. We use the term time and space a lot. In outdoor experiential education and in wilderness adventure therapy, time and space are our main tools. And I try to explain it to them in that way. So we've got all this time out there, but space in itself is a five-letter acronym, and it stands for S is simplicity. You mentioned simple life at the beginning. Well, the Camino is very simple. Everything you own is on your back. After about a week, all you think about is where am I going today, where am I going to sleep, what am I going to eat, and look forward to that. P. P is purpose. So of the four great intrinsic motivators that we have as humans, having a purpose makes you go and do things. It really does. And, of course, on the Camino, every day you have a purpose. Where am I going today? And at the very end, you know where you're going to end up, and that's fantastic. A is, of course, adventure. Adventure is a type 2 fun. It's one of those funds where it doesn't have to be fun to be fun. And doing that, you realise no matter how hard things are, you know you're going to get through it. It's going to work. C is companionship. So all these great people you meet become your companions, and you share those hardships together, and you trust each other and you look after each other. And E is exercise. You're doing what your body is designed to do, to walk. And after about a week, you start to get really fit. And that's how that all works.
Space, simple, purpose, adventure, companionship, exercise. I love that. That's great. Why not get out and about and try and find yourself some space?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I really enjoy. Having said that, it can be a double-edged sword on the Camino, though, because at the end and on your way back, you don't have it anymore. So there's a fair bit of grief and mourning involved at the end. But it's one of those things where you have to really just say to yourself, be happy it happened, not mourn that it's over. And that works really well.
Yeah. I want to get to that a little later, because they often say that your pilgrimage begins when you leave Santiago. And certainly that's been it's my experience. But just before we get there, Peter, are you a religious person?
No. I do adventure. I'd like to think I'm spiritual. I like Taoism and Buddhism. There was a movement a while ago called the Taoism of Christ, which followed what Christ did, not what he said. And it was that affected me greatly. Very much like Paulo Coelho's charismatic writing style does, and how he says, you know, this, you have to do it, not just say it.
That's a very good point. I spoke earlier about a simpler life. Why do you think we yearn for a simpler life, and why do you feel the need to live more simply?
It allows you to do anything. You're not tied down with many things. When I got back from my first Camino, I seriously looked around our home and thought, what don't we need? Why do we have this stuff? And that simple life does allow you to do what you want to do, anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good life lesson. And no doubt you've taught and mentored a lot of people through the scouting movement in those life lessons. I was looking at some of the videos on your website, Lighten the Trip Fantastic. You talk about Camino kilometres. You have a theory. Take us through that theory.
Okay, Camino kilometres. When you're walking a Camino, you've got a guidebook or you've got signposts and it tells you how far you've got to go. However, your perception of distances on the Camino has a lot to do with where your mind is at the moment. So sometimes a kilometre will go fast and sometimes it will just drag on forever. So I look at it that Camino kilometres aren't real. They're just a number somebody stuck in a guidebook. You know where you're going today and it doesn't matter. How long it's going to take you to get there, it doesn't matter. So the kilometres themselves aren't really real. It's sort of a guideline to give you a rough idea, but that's about all.
So how do you, if you see a sign that says 8 kilometres to the next town, how do you react when you see that sign? Do you think, oh, well, there's 8 Ks to go? Or do you think, oh, well, I won't worry too much about that. I'll make my own mind up when I've got there.
I do must admit that when I look at the guideposts and see the distances, I automatically transfer that to time, not distance. So if I see 8 kilometres, I go, oh, yeah, maybe 2 hours. So that's how I look at that, not the actual distance itself, but how long it's going to take me to do it. And that allows me to factor in all sorts of things, rest breaks, stopping for meals, and things like that.
Yeah. It's interesting in those videos you talk about, and you might just explain what you mean by, the unpredictable nature of the Camino.
Yes. So my bushwalking experiences has always been about following topographical maps. So you can look at a map, work out how you're going to get there and what's going to be like on the way. But with the Caminos, they don't follow any logical route. They meander a lot. They follow the obvious routes, whether they be farm tracks or besides major highways or even just wilderness trails through things. So you think you'll know where you're going to go. You look at a trail ahead of you, look, oh, yes, as I said, goes down that stream, along that valley, up that ridgeline and through that gap. And like I said, it's not going to happen. It will take off somewhere totally unpredictable. And that's where I like it. That's the part of the adventure, is not knowing where you're going. You know, you can look at a guidebook and say, oh, yes, that's where I'm going. But when you're on the ground, it's a different thing altogether.
The same could be said of life, couldn't it?
Yes, very much so. Oh, without a doubt, I could say this with all sincerity. My greatest adventure has been the 40 years I've spent with my wife. And we, you know, the adventure has just been fantastic. You know, growing up together, when I say growing up together, we met when we were 20. You know, our children and going through life's adventure. Not knowing where it's going to go. This year's a classic example, not knowing where it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Some days you're easier than others too.
Yes, very much so.
You also say in the video the Camino is the best fun you can have with your clothes on.
Oh, definitely. That's the adventure.
But there, but there'll be people listening saying, hang on, walking 30 Ks every day and sleeping in a room with 30 other people doesn't sound like fun. But you're selling a concept here that needs serious selling, aren't you?
Yes. As I said before, it doesn't have to be fun to be fun. Yeah. That's what adventure is all about. Yeah, the things you can share later with like-minded people who you've done it with. One of the things that our little New Estrus Familia Descenderos does is we chat all the time. There's a group of us, you know, a Facebook chat room we have where we just talk about life, and they're from all over the world. So it's really, really good.
Yeah, let's talk about fitness, and not just fitness of getting yourself prepared, but fitness of body, mind, and spirit.
Oh, definitely.
What have you learned about those, I suppose, three key personal endeavours, body, mind, and spirit? How do you get fit in your mind and your spirit as well as your body?
One thing walking does, it gives you a lot of headspace. and you think about all sorts of things and you mull over things and you occasionally come up with good solutions to problems. And after a while, you start to develop that concept of any problem can be dealt with given enough time to think about it. And walking gives a chance, especially on a Camino when you've got so much time, to think about things, as well as the spiritual development by being able to look around and look at things and say, isn't that fantastic? One of the things we try to teach our young people is, you know, if you can look at a tree and say, that is absolutely amazing and wonderful, you're on your way. You're starting to understand how beautiful this world is. So, yes, a Camino does develop you in body, mind and spirit.
Wow, great line. Yeah, I suppose if you can see the beauty in something as simple as a tree, for all its simplicity, yet all its complexity, it is truly beautiful, yeah.
That's true. There was a show on in the 90s called Joan of Arcadia, and it was about this girl in Valley Girl in California, and she kept running into God, and God kept asking her to do things for him. And when they first met, she said to him, "You're God, are you?" He said, "Yes." And she said, "All right, show me a miracle." And God said, "All right, there's a tree." And Jane said, "That's not a miracle." And God said, "Yeah, you do it."
That's fantastic.
So the beauty of being able to look at nature and natural things, as well as constructed features that people have made, yeah, and seeing the beauty and love they put into them, is very valuable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a great story. You also talk on the videos about making lots of mistakes and learning from them.
You do. Humility is one of the greatest teachers you can ever have. When you make a mistake or make an error, you know, you have to say, "I did that, I'm responsible for it, I will fix it." And it teaches you all sorts of things. Obviously, the greatest mistake we made when Leo and I first did our first Camino into Pamplona from St. John Pierre de Port, we had way, way too much stuff. And so we got rid of a whole lot of stuff and sent it home. I think we took about 5 kilos each out of our packs. And then when we got further on, we showed, well, we don't need all this other stuff either. So we got rid of more stuff. And it came down to the realisation that when you do a Camino or a walk, look at what you're going to carry and say, if you're thinking that you're going to need it, don't take it. If you know you're going to need it, take it. Because as everyone says, the Camino provides, and it does.
So what sort of things were you throwing out?
Oh, heavy jumpers, for instance, a heavy sleeping bag, which I didn't need. I sent a laptop home. I thought, why am I carrying a laptop? Things like that, things you don't need on a Camino. Basically, my Camino pack now consists of a very lightweight sleeping bag, a inner sheet, wet weather gear, a change of good clothes to wear at night, a couple of changes of underwear and a pair of pyjamas, plus water bottles and something to carry food in, and that's it. So my pack, I think, is between 6 and 7 kilos, depending on how much water I'm carrying, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's easy. That's no dramas. 6 or 7 kilos is well within the parameters of what we're advised. When you talk about 10%, don't they? People say don't carry any more than 10% of your body weight, which is not a bad rule of thumb.
No, it's not bad. So that kind of works, yeah.
You say on the video, play nice, be safe, you are loved.
You are loved. People will often forget that, yeah. People love you. They do. You may not realise it, you may not, but there are a lot of people that do look at you and... you are loved. So, yeah, and be nice and play safe is the way to go about doing all these sort of things. But it makes people look at you because it's all about, again, back to being allowed to be yourself. And that's how that really works. How's that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I think if you were to conduct yourself on a day-to-day basis at home and or on the Camino, with that simple philosophy, play nice, be safe, you are loved, the world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it?
It certainly would be. And that's another thing I love about the Camino is I don't think there was anyone I met on the Camino that I didn't want to be friends with. You know, the mindset of people who walk the Camino is pretty wonderful.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because they're out there, as I said, time and space, and they're willing to let people be themselves because they want to be allowed to be themselves. So, again, they just accept people as they are, without judgment, without any sort of perception going on.
Yeah. What do you make, then, of the global Camino community, the pilgrims around the world? What do you get? What vibe do you get from that sensibility?
Definitely peace, without a doubt. Yeah, you get the people. So from the Camino, I have friends in Ireland, in the Netherlands, in the United States, in Canada, obviously in Australia, okay? And we get this idea that, you know, this is how the world would be really, really nice to be rather than materialistic and self-centred, if that follows.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. That's a very good answer. So let's take ourselves back to the Camino. You're walking along with some friends from Ireland and or the Netherlands, and what are you talking about?
What do we talk about? We talk about our lives, our friends. We talk about where we're going to go, what we're going to eat. Yeah, and it's very much the let us do this attitude. Let's do this, and it's inclusive together. So that's a very positive thing. And enjoying the adventure together too. I very much believe that adventures need to be shared. When I did the English, I did it on my own and it didn't have the same vibe as walking with somebody else and sharing an adventure. I sort of had the idea that I was ticking a box and I didn't like that at all.
How interesting. Do you have a favourite Camino?
No. I thought about that. They're all different and they've all got their own magic and wonders along the way. So I can't say I have a favourite one. I must admit San Salvador and the Primitivo were the most spectacular. I'd even ride just because of the vistas. I live and do a lot of bushwalking in the mountains, so mountainous terrain to me is very nice. And the Primitivo was just mountainous vistas, although it was wet and cold a lot.
Yeah. What have you learned about yourself in your Camino journey?
I think I've grown very much about I am who I am, and I try to improve on that. So sort of what can I do to make myself a better person? Obviously going for walks is a very good one, and I think the humility is starting to kick in more and more, which I rather like because it expands my horizons to things I don't know. So you get to the stage on the Camino where, you go through those four methods of learning where you start off where you don't know, and then you know you don't know, and then you know, and you finally get to the stage where you don't know you know.
Stop it. Stop. Hang on. Wait a second. Take us through those again.
Okay. The four stages are you don't know, you don't know. And then you know you don't know. And then you know you know. And then you get to the stage where you don't know you know. It's when you start automatically doing things without thinking about them.
Yeah, that's great. I've never heard that before. That's awesome. Yeah, sorry, Peter, I interrupted you. Go on.
That's okay. Where were we?
What did you learn about yourself?
What did you learn about myself? Yeah, I think they were the main things I learned about myself. There's so much that I don't know in this world. And I discovered one thing about the Camino. When we did the first Camino, we just called it the Camino de Santiago. And then I discovered all these other Caminos that are out there. And after I discovered them, I discovered the grand routes throughout Europe. So I sort of got this list in the back of my mind that I wouldn't mind doing a few more of the other grand routes. When I do, I don't know. But at the moment, I'm quite happy just walking Caminos. There's still quite a few of them left to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you've learned about yourself. What have you learned about others?
Other people are great. Other people have got qualities that I have. They don't know the same things I don't know. They can do things that I can't do, and you can learn so much from them.
Tell us about arriving in Santiago de Compostela.
Sorry, about which?
Tell us about arriving in Santiago de Compostela.
Arriving?
Yeah.
Very emotional. Each time you walk into that plaza, it's very emotional, without doubt. That great feeling of accomplishment, no matter if you ain't done the 120 or the English or you've done the Portuguese or the Francis. There's an incredible feeling, emotional feeling of accomplishment, very much a spiritual realization that you've done something, and that's great.
A great opportunity to acknowledge your accomplishment, your achievement.
Yes, but also acknowledge the people who'd helped me do it. Like I said, our little Nuestras Familias de Senderos, we help each other and we do it together. And it's, I will always say, it's so much better doing it with someone else.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They say your Camino begins after you've arrived in Santiago. How has been your experience, or what has been your experience?
Definitely. Coming home, as I said, there was a fair bit of grieving and mourning at the end of the first one and probably at the end of the others also.
How do you deal with that then?
Oh, you don't stop. Very simple, yeah. Like I said, I do a lot of walking, a lot of headspace, keep in contact with my Camino companions, keep doing things. That's how you deal with that. You acknowledge that it happened and be very happy it happened rather than mourning that it's over.
Yeah. Where are your Compostelas?
They're on my wall in front of me at the moment. That's where they are.
So you've got a kind of like a whole wall full of them, haven't you, and framed?
Yes, a wall full of framed Compostelas and also my credentials with all the stamps on them up there from each Camino I've done. I'm definitely running out of wall space.
What do you think when you look up at them?
Oh, how great it all was. You know, each one of them has got its own memories. The people who I walked with, there's been a few, like I said, our group. We've walked a few Caminos together. And it's just, you know, brings back those memories of how great it was. And that one day we'll do it again.
And I wonder, when you sort of cast your eye up at all of it, are you surprised that this pilgrimage has had such a big impact in your life when you perhaps didn't even know about it only a handful of years ago?
Yes, I am surprised at the impact it did have on me, really. How much fun it was, how much we enjoyed it, how much we discovered about ourselves and each other, and how great our horizons got expanded by doing these things.
Yeah. You've done a lot of walking, a lot of walking, and a lot of writing about the Camino. What's one piece of advice you'd give to somebody thinking of walking?
Well, my initial advice would be go and do it, but don't have any expectations. Really, just take the Camino as it comes, you know, each day, and take it a day at a time. I must admit, when I initially set out from Saint-Jean-Pierre-de-Port, what we were setting out to achieve seemed to be a bit overwhelming sometimes. But when we got the idea of let's just do a day at a time and take each day as a Camino on its own, it became so much easier and less overwhelming, and we enjoyed it more because we were being in the moment every day.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, in the moment. I like that. Tell us a Camino story, Peter.
A Camino story. As I said, we met a lot of great people on the way and how we met them on the way. Let me tell you a story about a lovely young lady we met called Kirsty. Leo and I were walking into Azofra and it had been over 30 degrees. We'd done 25 Ks that morning. and we were hot and sweaty and tired, and we walked into the Kalamea through Zofra, and there was this couple sitting on a doorstep. And Leo and I were just talking, and this young lady spoke up and said, "Oh, thank goodness, Australians. I hadn't heard an Australian accent in a week." And we got talking with her. And she said at one point, "So where'd you come from?" And we were, our minds were blank. We said, "Oh, we don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I can't think of it at the moment." And she said, "Well, how far have you come?" And again, I said, "Oh, I don't know. We just don't know. We haven't thought about it yet." And we were hot and we were tired, we were sweaty. All we want to do is find a bed, have a shower, and get a beer somewhere. And she said, "So you don't know where you came from. You don't know how far you walked." And she was starting to get a bit angry. And I could feel the tension starting to rise. And just off the top of my head, I say, "Yeah, well, we don't live in the past." And that just broke the ice. It cracked her up. And from then on, she became one of our dearest friends. She was with us all the way to Santiago de Compostela. We didn't exactly walk every day together or stay at the same place, but we knew where each other was via, obviously, Facebook Messenger. So we kept in contact and kept up to date, and we walked into Santiago together. It was great. Really fantastic experience.
Oh, how lovely.
And she became a very dear friend. She still is. The January afterwards, Lou and I went down to Victoria and met up with Kirsty and three of her great friends who had also walked Camino. And we spent 3 days walking the Grampians High Peaks Walk. And it was great. It was the best debrief you could ever do. We rehashed the Caminos and we drank Vino Tinto every night, and it was just a magical walk.
Kirsty, how lovely. That's a great story. I love a quote. You know, I always start and finish my interviews with a quote. And there's a great quote from J.R.R. Tolkien on your website: "Not all of those who wander are lost, but all who are lost wander." Do you ever get lost, Peter?
Oh, yes. That's part of the game. Not permanently, obviously, because I'm sitting here. But, yeah, occasionally you do get misplaced. Yeah. So that's one of the things. And then you just have to think your way out of it. It's one of those things. That's where keeping a sense of humour is very, very valuable. We've had times in the Flinders Ranges on an exercise of Operation Flinders where we've got lost. And I've said to the youth, you know, this is part of the game. Yeah. Well, one of the things you really got to keep in the back of your mind is that lots of people plan for things. And when a plan doesn't work, here's the quote that goes. It goes, a plan is a vision of the future. And what gets people into trouble is when reality doesn't meet the plan, they stick to the plan. So what you've got to do is, again, just be humble and say, it didn't work, let's fix it. And that's where your sense of humour really must come in. You must be able to keep smiling and fix it.
Yeah. Hey, Rob,
you want to hear a Camino joke?
Go ahead.
Okay. What do you call a dog that walks a Camino?
I don't know.
El Perro Greeno.
That's terrible. That's terrible. So, Peter, what's the one word you'd use to sum up the Camino experience for you? Just one word.
Magical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about being lost. Being found is kind of cool too, isn't it?
It is, especially when you find yourself. That's really nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll finish by saying, I think it's great that you've found this something very special in your life, and you're able to share it with others. Why do you sit down and type away at your blog, lightenthetripfantastic.travel.blog? What motivates you to do that?
I like to inspire people to get out there and see how great the world is. It really is a lovely place. A lot of people are having this vision of the world being nasty and horrible and people are out to get you and all this, but it's not like that at all. It really is a magical, wonderful place.
I think it's a lot better for people like you, to be honest. We could do with a few more Peter Thomases in the world with that kind of attitude, I can tell you.
Oh, thank you. I hope that this is the sort of thing I hope to pass on to our youth on Operation Flinders too, that there is a big world out there. Go and find it.
Yeah. There's a big world out there. Go find it. Hey, Peter, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks for your energy and your scholarship. And I look forward to our paths crossing at some stage.
That would be great. It would be really great. Who knows? Camino's next year. We get an effective vaccine and we're allowed to leave the country. We'll see what's happening out there.
Yeah, my word. I can't wait.
I'll give you any plans I have and see what happens.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Buen Camino.
Thank you, Dan. Buen Camino.
My guest this week, the Australian pilgrim Peter Thomas. You can find Peter, his writing, videos, photographs and more at lightenthetripfantastic.travel.blog. lightenthetripfantastic.travel.blog. A new world awaits, a world of hope and beauty. We'll see off 2020 and move on. The American evangelist and host of The Hour of Power, Robert H. Schuller, said once, "Let your hopes, not your hurts, shape your future." I hope you find what you're looking for somewhere along the way. Until next week, I'm Dan Mullins. Buen Camino.